I want you to take a minute and imagine with me just for a minute what it would be like to be blind. In fact, to have always been blind. To just live your whole life in complete and total darkness, never having seen the stars, never having seen the sunrise, really having no comprehension that the words used to describe the sunrise, words like orange and pink and red, they have no meaning to you because you have not seen anything that was orange or pink or red. Never saw a flower, never see the leaves as they change this time of year, never see the snow sparkle in winter, never see the face of a little baby and the joy that a smile on the face of a little baby can bring. And then I want you to imagine living in a time that's far less advanced than ours, where there's no seeing eye dogs, no Braille, no school for the blind, no government programs to assist folks that suffer from that ailment, in a time where even your family didn't make enough income to help take care of you, and so the only thing that you could do is beg. The only thing that you could do is ask for the mercy of other people to support you. Others work in the fields, but you can't. Others work in stores, but you can't. Others learn a trade, but you can't. You have to beg. And so you sit on a busy street, a busy corner, and you listen for the footsteps of people that are about to pass you by, and you cry out, "Alms, alms, help a poor blind man." And you beg for your living. You do that every day. In the heat of summer and the cold of winter. When it's dry, when it's wet. You can't afford to dress well. And even if you could, you wouldn't because you're begging. But you do not enjoy the things of life as others do because you are blind. And if we can just imagine that and what it would be like to live like that, We can maybe begin to understand a little bit the excitement that came into the life of this blind man named Bartimaeus as he sat on this street and heard that Jesus was coming by. He'd been blind for his whole life. He'd never seen anything that other people took for granted. He'd never seen a sunset, never seen the stars, never saw the face of his mother or his father or his children if he had any. And he spent his life begging. And he heard that Jesus was coming. He'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard Jesus went to a porch by the pool of Bethesda. And there was a man there that was lame, had been lame for 38 years. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And strength came into his legs and into his feet. And he walked away from that place. He'd heard about this one called Jesus who had just touched a leper and leprosy disappeared. He heard about this one called Jesus who spit and made some mud and put it in a blind man's eye and then told him to go wash in a pool, and he went and washed and he walked away seeing. And this blind man said, if Jesus could do that for other people, he could help me. And so as he heard Jesus was passing by, he began to cry out. He said, "Lord, Lord, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me." The people around him said, "Bartimaeus, Jesus didn't come to see you. He came to preach, he came to teach. He doesn't have time for a poor, blind beggar. Just be quiet. Don't bother the master." Bartimaeus knew that Jesus did come to see him. In fact, Jesus did come for the one. He came for the many, but he came for the one. And so Bartimaeus was not discouraged by what people around him said. He cried out even louder. He said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. Because you see, Jesus always hears the voice of one that calls to him. And he says, "Bring that blind man to me." The crowd around Bartimaeus says, "Hey, be of good cheer. He's calling you." Stand up, and we'll direct you to where Jesus is. And the Bible says Bartimaeus stood up. He arose. He took that garment that was torn and tattered and threw it down and came to Jesus. And Jesus says, "What do you want? Why have you been calling me? What kind of mercy do you want?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And here's what Jesus says. He said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And the Bible says that immediately, this blind beggar received his sight and followed Jesus. This morning, I want to point out 7 things to you about Bartimaeus. You see, I know some of you don't get the chance to come back on Sunday night, and I usually only have 3 points per sermon, but since some of you won't be here tonight, I'm going to give you 2 sermons for the price of 1. I'm going to give you 7 points. But I got to move fast since it's Lord's Supper Sunday morning. I have less time than usual, so I want you to listen in a hurry. If you listen in a hurry, I'll preach in a hurry, and we won't be too much later than we normally are. 7 things about this blind beggar. 7 wonderful things. 7 things that apply to each of us. Number 1, this guy had a problem. He was blind. He couldn't see. The only thing that he could do for a living was beg. He couldn't go out to the fields and work. He couldn't work in a shop. He couldn't learn to work in a trade. He had a problem. He was blind. Every single person here this morning has a problem. Our problem is not our health, although there may be some with health problems. Our problem is not a relationship, although there may be some with relationship problems. Our problem is sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Our health, if we have bad health, will not keep us out of heaven. A relationship that's strained will not keep us out of heaven. But I'll tell you this morning, if you don't already know, sin will keep you out of heaven. There's a penalty for sin. There's a price for sin. And that penalty is to be separated from God. And every single person here this morning has a sin problem. Now, some of us have that problem solved. Some of us don't. There's a large majority here this morning that has a sin problem, but Jesus has taken care of it. There's some here this morning that has a sin problem, and you still got the problem. So, number 1, this guy had a problem. Number 2, he wanted to make it better. He was not content to stay blind. He wanted to improve his lot in life. He wanted to get this condition taken care of. He wanted to change things in his life. Now, those of us here this morning that have a sin problem and have already asked Jesus to take care of it, we had that same desire. We wanted to change something in our life. When we realized that sin was separating us from God, separating us from heaven, we decided, like blind Bartimaeus, "I don't want to live any longer like this. I want to change my life. I want to change my destination. I want to change where I'm headed." And so one day, we decided to just do like Bartimaeus did and call upon Jesus. And he saved us. But you know, there's some people here this morning that still have the sin problem and have never asked Jesus to save them. And in all likelihood, they will leave here this morning still with their sin problem. You know why? Because they don't want to change it. They don't want to change it. They'll readily admit, "Oh, yes, 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 I'm a sinner. There's things in my life that should not be. There's things that I have done that have gone against God's law. I know I have disobeyed the law of God. I know that disobedience makes me a sinner. And I know that there's a penalty for that sin. I know that that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And I know that that sin separates me from God now and will separate me from God for all eternity." But they'll walk out of this room this morning unsaved, still on their way to hell, because they don't want to change nothing. This man said, "I don't want to continue to live like this. I want my life to be changed. I want it to be different. I don't want to be a blind beggar for all my life. I want a change." Number 3, he knew that Jesus could help him. He knew that Jesus could work a change in his life. Again, he'd heard about the lame people that he had make walk. He heard about the deaf people that Jesus made hear. He heard about the lepers that he had cured. He'd even heard about the dead people that he had brought back to life. And Bartimaeus says, Jesus can help me change my life. He can make a difference in my life. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus can do the same thing in your life. There's scores here this morning that would raise their hand and they would tell you what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. They would raise their hand and tell you, I have a hope for heaven because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary's cross. They would raise their hand in testimony this morning and say, let me tell you how empty my life was before I came to Christ. And let me tell you, the joy unspeakable and full of glory that he's brought into my life since I've been saved. Jesus can help you this morning. You may have no desire to change, but there's a Savior that's waiting to change your life. A Savior waiting to take care of your sin problem. And by the way, he's the only one that can do it. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other name given among heaven but the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only one cure for your sin problem. It's not baptism. It's not the Lord's Supper. It's not church membership. All those are good things, but they will not cure sin. The only thing that will cure sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He knew Jesus could help him. Number four, he didn't let anybody keep him from Jesus. I like to imagine these scenes in the Bible. I can see Bartimaeus sitting there on the street. I can imagine in my mind as he hears people begin to whisper and begin to talk, hey, it's Jesus. Jesus is coming. Jesus of Nazareth. He's coming down the street. He's going to pass right in front of us. And I can almost feel the excitement that begins to build in Bartimaeus. It's Jesus. He's the one that cures deafness. He's the one that makes the lame walk. He's the one that makes the blind see. He can help me. And so he listens. He listens for the footsteps of the crowd. He listens as Jesus draws closer and closer. And then when he thinks he's in earshot, when he thinks that Jesus can hear as he cries out, he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, please help me. And I can see the people around him look at him with disgust. And they say, why don't you just be quiet? Don't bother the master. He hasn't come for you. Little did they know that he had come for Bartimaeus. Little did they know that this was the divine appointment. Little did they know that Jesus was on the road that day to cure the blindness of that man called Bartimaeus. And they said, just be quiet, Bartimaeus. He didn't come for you. He's busy. He's got lots of things to do. Don't bother the master. Just be quiet. Don't shout his name out. Don't call him. And Bartimaeus, as he heard the rebuke of the crowd, said, no, he's the only hope that I have. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He didn't let anybody keep him from coming to Christ. You know what's sad this morning? Some of you will let your family keep you from coming to Jesus. Some of you will let your friends keep you coming from coming to Jesus. Some of you will let the people that you work with keep you from coming to Jesus. You need to decide. You need to decide like blind Bartimaeus. Jesus is the only one that can help me with my sin problem. Doesn't matter what my family may say. Doesn't matter what my friends may say. Doesn't matter what the people I work with may say. Doesn't matter what anybody says. I need Jesus. And I'm not going to let anybody stop me from coming to him, from calling out to him. Number five, when Jesus called, he came. Jesus heard his voice. The Bible says he stood still. He said, tell that blind beggar to come. Tell him to come. Now, Bartimaeus could have said, oh, well, no. I didn't want to be the center of attention. I didn't want a public display like this. Why don't you just drop by my house after a while? Why don't you just see me tomorrow? No. When Jesus called him, he came. He came. In just as real a sense as Jesus called Bartimaeus that day, in just as real a sense as he called him and said, hey, let that blind beggar come to me, he's calling you this morning. He's calling you. It's not by accident that you're here this morning. It's not by coincidence. Jesus knew you were going to be here. He knew that you were going to be in this place. He knew you were going to hear this message. And he's calling you this morning. He says, I can fix your sin problem. Nobody else can. This church can't. That preacher can't for sure. But I can fix your sin problem. You come to me. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus is calling you this morning. Bartimaeus came when Jesus called him. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have the sin problem. You have a sin problem that hasn't been taken care of yet. That sin problem separates you from God. Jesus is the only one that can help you, and he's calling you this morning. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Number six, he left his garment behind. The robe of a beggar, worn, tattered, scant protection from the wind. It didn't keep the rain out. It didn't keep the cold out. But it was the best that he had. And when Jesus called him, he said, tell that beggar to come to me. And Bartimaeus stood up and he felt that tattered garment around him. He says, I'm not going to need this anymore. I'm going to Jesus. Something's going to happen. I don't need this beggar's garment anymore. I don't need it. And the Bible says he cast it away. You know, another sad thing this morning, some of you won't come to Jesus to let him fix your sin problem because you don't want to give up what you have. You think the price will be too high, that you'll have to give up something in order to come to Christ, something you hold dear. I like the song that Barb sung, Whatever It Takes, Lord. I want to tell you something. Whatever you have compared to what Jesus wants to give you, it's like an old beggar's tattered and torn garment. It in no way compares to what Jesus offers you with eternal life. Don't hang on to the things of the world. Don't hang on to those things that you think are dear. Because compared to salvation, compared to what Jesus offers you, there's no comparison. Throw it away. Cast it aside. You're not going to need it anymore. God's going to fill you up. You won't even miss the things that you've cast away. He left his garment behind. And then number seven, he received his sight. He received his sight. I wish I could have been with him that first night. So he went out to the night sky and he looked up into heaven. He said, man, the stars sure are pretty. I wish I could have been with him the next morning as the sun came up over the eastern horizon and he saw the colors of the sunrise. I wish I could have been with him as he went home. And maybe for the first time, look into the face of his mother, his father, his wife, his children. He had felt their faces before, but now he could look and see them. He received his sight. He received his sight. He got what he came looking for. He came to Jesus, and Jesus met the need that he had. You know, the New Testament is full of examples. Example after example of people coming to Christ and finding satisfaction that only he can give. The blind came, they left seeing. The deaf came, they left hearing. The lame came, they left walking. The lepers came, they left whole. The demon-possessed came, they left free. The withered came, they left straight. The dead came, they left living. The New Testament is full of examples that Jesus works. He works. And by the way, this room this morning is full of examples that Jesus works. We could go up and down the aisle and you could hear testimony after testimony after testimony that Jesus works. He works. I read a story about a church meeting where they were given testimonies. And a man stood up and said, "I'd like to share something with you. I'd like to share a story of a ward master that was in charge of a hospital tent toward the end of the Civil War. And there was an epidemic of measles that broke out as we were caring for the wounded. And the only thing we could do, we didn't have anything to treat it, and with the wounds that they had, the measles sometimes brought on death. And so the only thing we could do was separate those that were living that didn't have the measles with those that had the measles and were dying. And so we separated them into two tents." And he said, "The story I'm going to tell you is about the guy that was in charge of the tent of the soldiers that were dying." He said that ward master went into that tent and he walked among the cots and he saw a young man who was dying and knew he was dying. And he called the ward master over to him. He said, "Ward master, I know that I'm dying. I know that I don't have much time left and I've never been saved. My daddy wasn't saved and my mama wasn't saved. I only went to church one time. But when I went to church that one time, I heard the story about Nicodemus. And I heard that you had to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. And I've not been born again. Would you please call the chaplain for me so that I could be born again?" Well, the chaplain was gone. There wasn't a chaplain available. And this ward master was an atheist. He grew up in a Christian home, but he did not believe in God. And so he told the young man, he said, "Listen, the chaplain's gone. There's nobody here that can help you. Everything will be okay." And he left and went to check on the other patients. A few minutes later, he came back to this young man. And the young man, his throat began to fill with fluid and he could hardly talk. He said, "Ward master, please, I'm dying. I'm not going to go to heaven. I have not been born again. Can you help me? Can you help me?" And the ward master said, "Well, I'll call the doctor and we'll get that fluid out of your throat." And they called the doctor and they sponged out his throat and got all the fluid. And he felt a little bit better, but he was still dying. And he knew he was dying. He thanked the doctor. He said, "Doc, thanks for helping me, but I need somebody to tell me how to be born again. I'm dying. I've not been born again. I'm going to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Isn't there anybody here that can help me?" The ward master looked down at him. He said, "Now look, son, there ain't nobody here that can help you. I don't know anything about God. But I do know one thing. My mother was a good woman. If there's ever a woman that's in heaven, it's my mother. And she taught me one verse. One verse. It's the only Bible I know." And he said, "I wish I didn't even know it. But it's the only Bible I know. And the only reason I know is because my mother forced me to learn it. Let me tell you this verse and see if it'll help you." It goes like this. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He said, "Why don't you say it after me? See if it works for you." And so the ward master said, "For God so loved the world." And this young man, just struggling to even breathe, repeated after him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Should not perish, but have everlasting life. The ward master was going to walk away when he saw the young man shut his eyes. And he heard him repeat those last two phrases over again. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the ward master said, the light of heaven came over his face. And that young dying soldier looked up as he took his last breath and said, "Ward master, it works. It works." And the man that was given that testimony, as tears streamed down his face, said, "I was that ward master, and I stand before you today telling you, it works. It works. Jesus works. You have a sin problem. He can fix it if you'll let him. He's calling you to come. Would you come? He works. He works." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise that comes through Jesus Christ. The promise that our sin problem can be taken care of. The promise that we can be forgiven. The promise that we can become one of your children. The promise that we can have a home in heaven. Thank you for all the people here that have already claimed those promises. Know for sure they're on their way to heaven because one day they asked Jesus to be their Savior. But Father, I pray for those that have never done that. Those that are still here in their sin, under the penalty of sin, on their way to hell. Father, I pray for them. Help them to see that they have a problem and help them to want to do something about it. Help them to see that Jesus is the only one that can help and that he wants to help. And he's calling them. Father, help them come to him this morning. Cast aside anything that may be preventing them from coming. Cast aside and come to Christ and get eternal life. Father, please make it so. I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray that as we've once again heard the gospel, we would once again realize how much you love us and what you did for us in saving us. And that thought would cause us to want to serve you more, to be a more sold-out Christian for you. And so, Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Speak to those that don't know Christ, Holy Spirit. Bring them to the Savior. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.